We are indeed beginning to look toward the book of Galatians this afternoon, and then in Lord's Day evenings to follow. This is the 500th anniversary year of the Reformation, and one of the key portions of Scripture during that Reformation era 500 years ago was the book of Galatians. We're reminded that God uses His Word. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. We have confidence that it was used back in the 50s, not the 1950s, but the 50s when Paul wrote it. We know that it was used during the 16th century, and we have confidence that the Holy Spirit continues to use His Word. So we're going to start into the book of Galatians this afternoon. Galatians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Will you listen? Because it is God's Word. Paul, an apostle, not from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of our God. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for Your word, and we ask that You would be pleased to use Your word as we turn to it this afternoon. You are the God who bears us up, and Father, we would ask that You would bear us up just for this little season, in order that we would profit from Your word this afternoon. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, Galatians. That's what Paul is saying in the opening verses of his letter. And so with Paul, we say, hello, Galatians. We're interested to meet the Galatians. We're interested to know what Paul has to say to them. And to be sure, Paul wrote a good long while ago, as I mentioned earlier. This letter was probably written round about AD 50. So this is not recently written. It was perhaps the first letter penned by Paul that has come down to us under the superintendence of the Holy Spirit as part of Holy Scripture. It's a letter we're not actually sure quite who the Galatians were. We're not exactly sure who it was Paul is addressing. And when we look at the territory on the map of the day that was described as Galatia, it includes quite a chunk of Galatia, part of a large swathe of what's now Turkey. And we're not just sure where in that great chunk of territory lay the Galatian churches to which Paul wrote. Quite possibly, these are some of the churches that Paul established on his first missionary journey when he traveled around places like Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Those places fell within the territory of Galatia. It may be that those are the churches that Paul is writing to. And if so, he's writing this letter to them probably about 5 years after those churches were established. So Paul's coming back to the Galatians by way of letter, quite possibly not very long after he had been there as missionary and church planter. And so he addresses the Galatians. You might say, well, AD 50, that's way before my time. Galatia, Turkey, kind of far off, kind of remote, distant. What do I have in common with the Galatians? That's a good question to ask. You might say, well, I'm not a Galatian, so does this have relevance to me? But as we get into Paul's letter, we're going to, I hope, Lord willing, discover that Paul has lots of relevant things to say to us. But this afternoon, just to begin to identify themes that are going to run right through Paul's letter to the Galatians, we want to see the Galatians as people who need to be heeding Paul and people who are needing Jesus. So if you want to even think of the letter of Galatians to the Galatians and the gist of that letter, what Paul is communicating to them, he's communicating to them two very important things. They need to heed Paul, and they need Jesus. And well, let's begin to reflect on just what's going on there with that. And as we do so, it's good for us to say, am I a Galatian? Am I someone who should be heeding Paul? Am I someone who is needing Jesus? And first of all, Galatians, are you heeding Paul? Well, the Galatians really ought to be. And they ought to be because as Paul identifies himself, he identifies himself not just as Paul, but in verse 1, as Paul, an apostle, not from men, not through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, the Galatians knew Paul as a preacher. He had come through their territory preaching. They recognized him as a preacher, but Paul, right at the very start of his letter, is asserting his authority, not just as another preacher. He's asserting his authority, his particular authority, his special authority as an apostle. And of course, in the age to which Paul wrote, Paul communicated authoritatively and powerfully as an apostle. And in our own relativistic era, Paul writes to us as an apostle. An apostle, you may know, the word apostle means someone who's been sent. And so we might say, well, who was Paul sent by? Were we to look at Acts chapter 13, we would say, well, Paul was sent by the church at Antioch. But in actual fact, when we look closely at what what Luke says to us in Acts chapter 13, we see that Paul was sent by the Holy Spirit. Paul was sent by God himself. He's called to be an apostle, and he's called to be an apostle by God. And of course, the language of call, it's kind of churchy language, isn't it? We call men to be pastors. We call men to be elders. We call men to be deacons. And when we do that, we recognize individuals whom God is calling. That's something we observed already today. Is the Holy Spirit at work in the church today? The Holy Spirit who called in Acts chapter 13, called Paul and Barnabas to be set aside as apostles, a very special calling. That same Holy Spirit calls men to serve as deacons. So we affirm, we declare, and we celebrate the fact that the Holy Spirit continues to work. The Holy Spirit calls people, but Paul is called in a very direct and special way, because the Holy Spirit in our day, in our age, the Holy Spirit works through the people of God to identify those who are called. In Paul's apostolic experience, Paul is called directly by God himself. That human element is sidestepped, so the call comes directly from God. And that's what Paul is stressing in verse 1. He says, Paul, an apostle, not from man, not through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. In other words, what Paul is saying is, as I write to you, as you might think of me as a missionary, as you might think of me as a preacher, remember, I am an apostle. My calling is not a calling that has been identified by a church. My calling is not a calling that has been identified by you, Galatians. My calling is a calling that comes directly from God himself. God the Holy Spirit identified me, Jesus Christ, met me on the Damascus Road and set me apart for this work of ministry. And Paul, of course, reminds us that and isn't it interesting how he speaks of Jesus? Did you notice what Paul has to say about Jesus? Well, first of all, he very closely identifies Jesus with God, the Father, the Son. Paul is called by the Father, by the Lord Jesus. Jesus is God. Important to remember that. Paul says, I'm not called by man or through man, but by Jesus Christ. Okay, what's he saying about Jesus? He's saying Jesus is God. Jesus is fully man, but when Paul makes that assertion that I'm not called by man or through man, but I'm called by God and the Father and Jesus Christ, Paul is telling us that Jesus is God. Jesus is not mere man. He is God. And so Paul has been sent by God with a unique authority, and because of that, Paul needs to be heeded. Oh yes, other preachers should be listened to, attended to, but their preaching and teaching should be tested against the authoritative teaching of the apostles. Now, that's going to become very significant because we'll discover that the Galatian Christians have other preachers that they're listening to, that they're paying attention to, that they are being swayed by. And those other preachers are preaching a message that doesn't stack up against Paul's apostolic message. And it's good for us to remember the importance of that for us, that as we hear people, perhaps on the radio, perhaps on the television, maybe we download podcasts or listen to sermons on the internet, it's very important for us constantly to be coming back and saying, how do these things stack up against the inspired words of those whom God has called and set apart to be his spokesmen? There's a kind of quality control there. Paul speaks of himself as one who is called, and then he says in verse 2, and all the brothers who are with me. There's a whole community of people who recognize Paul. There's an Orthodox community, people who together recognize and affirm the teaching that Paul and, yes, the other apostles teach. And again, it's good for us to think of ourselves as Christians as being part of a community of people who recognize and confess certain truths, who hold those truths dear, who remind one another of those truths. We confess our faith during our service. See, that's being part of a community that confesses the truths of Scripture, that confesses God-given truth. There's a kind of protection there for us. And Paul writes as one who is part of a community of people who are committed to the truth. And again, it's good for us. We live in a society where there are all kinds of churches and all kinds of groups of people of faith and all kinds of ideas. But it's good for us to look at the things that we believe and ask ourselves, can we discern a continuity between what we believe and what can be traced back through the generations right back to its apostolic origins? So that we take great heart. We might feel like we're a minority in our society. But it's good for us to remember that we are part of a great community of people stretching down through the ages who stand alongside the apostles, as it were, saying, yes, this is the Word of God. These truths are the very truths of God. So Paul writes as someone who is to be heeded. And he's writing to this group of people, these Galatians, who have been listening to other people. And as they listen to these other people, they're hearing these other people say, don't listen to Paul. Paul didn't get it right. But Paul says, you need to heed what I taught you. You need to heed what I'm saying now. So first thing, heeding Paul. Second thing, needing Jesus. That's the second great theme that runs through the letter to the Galatians. These were people who needed Jesus. Now, Paul's writing to Christians, and you might say, well, yes, of course the Galatians needed Jesus in order for them to be Christians. They needed salvation by trusting in the Lord Jesus. But the issue that has come to the fore among the Galatians is that they should believe not just in Jesus, not in Jesus alone, but Jesus plus something else. And Paul is going to be writing to them to say, you need to get back to the basics of the gospel. You need Jesus, not Jesus plus, not Jesus and something else. You need Jesus. You haven't fully understood the richness of what is yours in the Lord Jesus. You've allowed your focus to waver away from Jesus as the one who saves you and the one who alone saves you. And here's where Paul's language differs from the kind of teaching that these other Galatian preachers are preaching. Paul, in verse 4, speaks about Jesus. He says, Jesus gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Jesus gave himself for our sins, says Paul. And you see right there, Paul is zeroing in on the problem that the Galatians are wrestling with, because the Galatians are being taught that they need to give something in order to contribute to their salvation. They need to give something. They need to add something to what Jesus has done. And Paul says, Jesus is a giving Savior. You see, we want to give things. It's polite, isn't it, to give. If someone gives something to us, we want to respond in some kind of way. The Galatians here in the gospel are being deceived into thinking that they need to give something to contribute to their salvation. And Paul says, no, look at Jesus. Jesus gave himself. Jesus is a giving Savior. Points us back to verse 1. Jesus was raised from the dead. What did Jesus give? Jesus gave his life. Jesus gave his all. Yes, we said he's fully God. He's also fully man. He's fully human. He gave his all in order to redeem sinners. And in the gospel, the spotlight falls on what God has given us, not on what we give God. The spotlight falls on what God gives us. It's kind of polite, isn't it, to want to give, and when we give, it affirms our sense of worth, doesn't it? We kind of feel good when we give something to someone, and well, it makes them happy, and maybe we feel a little bit, oh, they're in my debt now, they owe me, or maybe we feel I've squared a debt, they give me something, I've given them something, so we're square now, but it can be a point of pride. But actually, Paul says, Jesus gives. He gave himself, he gave his obedience, he gave his perfect life, he gave his perfect attitudes, he gave his perfect emotions, he gave all of that to accomplish your salvation. Jesus is a Savior who gives. The hymn, you remember, says, not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite, no, could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Jesus gives, we receive. We receive what Jesus does for us. And the language of that hymn captures the desperate situation that sinners find themselves in. You're on the beach, and there's someone off the shore, and they're drowning. They're in deep distress. What does the lifeguard do at that point? The lifeguard doesn't start giving swimming instructions. The lifeguard doesn't start teaching that. No, the lifeguard jumps right in, and perhaps at risk to his or her own life and well-being, the lifeguard goes there, grabs that person. And what they tell the person to do, they say, don't struggle. Just relax. Let me bring you back to safety. Let me save you. That's what Jesus does. Jesus sees us in our lostness. And Jesus jumps in. John Stott says, Christianity is a rescue religion. It's a religion for people who need to be rescued. It's a religion for people who are helpless, who need to be saved. And the Galatians, they're kind of struggling against that. They want to add something. They want to contribute. They want to do something. And Paul's saying, no, you need to rest on Jesus. Trust Jesus. See, I want to do things to contribute, but that's not how it is in the gospel. Jesus does all that's necessary to save his people. We rest in him. We trust him, and we're glad because we're saved because of what Jesus does. In fact, when Paul uses the term delivered, Jesus delivers us from the present evil age. That term deliver has the flavor of rescue. It's the word that's used in Acts to describe Israel being brought out of Egypt, rescued from Egypt. It's the word that's used to describe Peter being brought out of prison. And now Paul uses the same word to describe how God saves, rescues, delivers us from the present evil age. And you see, there are two tracks running side by side where we live as the saved people of God in the present evil age, but we're saved from it. We continue to live in that culture, that environment, but we've been saved from it. And it seems that the Galatian Christians just don't realize how much they need Jesus and how desperately they need to rely on Jesus and Jesus alone. So here's Paul. He's writing to these Galatians. He's writing to Christians. And he's saying, you Galatian Christians, you really need to understand just what Jesus has done to save you, so that you can rest in Jesus, so that you can unpack for yourselves the richness of what Jesus has accomplished to save you and all that that means. And so you can be delivered from the uncertainty of trying to do things in order to get right with God. And I find it interesting that Paul has to write that to Christians. He has to write that to the churches in Galatia. It's, I guess, the Presbytery of Galatia is hearing from Paul. And Paul is reminding these Christians that they've somehow gotten away from resting in Jesus the way they should. And I'm glad that the Holy Spirit has prompted Paul to write that, because that's something that all of us need. We need to heed Paul, and we need to realize just how much we need Jesus. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we do ask that you would help us in our explorations of this letter. We know that it's been easy for us to very quickly summarize some themes here this afternoon. We pray that as we begin to dig in and drill down, that you would give me ability to communicate, that you would give to us the ability to receive your truth, to prosper from it, and to worship Jesus, the only Savior of sinners. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.